Morning, church.
Good to be here. Recharge. I was always told, you know, Sunday's the day we come to recharge your batteries. My mother always used to say at home, your batteries need recharging. She always used to say that. I hope your batteries need recharging.
Of course.
Because if they do, it means you've been doing the Lord's work. And I want to do some encouragement this morning. In fact, the lesson today was inspired by Michelle, one of our younger Christians. It was her idea. We were talking and she said, I said, you know, what would you want to hear? And she said, this is what I want to hear. And so this is the lesson that we're going to look at today. And the purpose is just to be encouraged. Because Christian life is just amazing. I can't imagine living without God. You know, I can't imagine living without a lot of things. I can't imagine living without a house or things like that. There are many people in the world that do. But I can tell you that if I was to lose everything, I hope I still have God. God is what I still want. God is what I still need. 1 John chapter 3, one of my favourite passages. When I was studying at the Bible school, it was one of the first projects that I had. I had to write a sermon on this. We're not doing the whole sermon on this, but one of the projects I was given was I wanted to go away, I wanted to preach a lesson on 1 John chapter 3. We're just going to touch on a couple of things before we get into the lesson. But this is what I love about it. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed. Can you believe that? Bestowed upon us. That we should be called his children. That is wonderful, wonderful blessing. Can you believe that? We are called his children. You know, think of a relationship in your home. Think of your family. Think of your parent. Think of your father. Think of being a father, being a child and knowing that you are in a relationship, that relationship is very special, it's very unique. But with our Christian life, you know, there's a lot of people who maybe didn't grow up with parent figures around them. There's many people who maybe had difficult upbringings. But when we consider the fact that we're talking here about the God and creator of this world, we see that he has called me and you, those who follow him, his children. What a blessing. What a gift. You know, what does a child inherit? Their father's wealth. My kids go, oh dear. You know, but we inherit that amazing gift. And it's a great thing. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. And now we are children of God, and it is not yet being revealed that we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And it just is for me, it's such an encouragement. Now, I want you to picture this. This is the theme that Michelle was thinking along, and this is what I got in my head. In relation to the fact is this, that I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. Now, listen to this. You know, in the time of the ark, when that ark was created, anybody who was in the ark would expect to survive the flood because of the sanctuary that they were in, because of that safety that they were in. And so, in order for us to get through our life on a daily basis, we need to be assured of something. That if we are in Christ and living the way we should be living, we will have an eternal life. That is the promise. Now, I saw a clip. I can't take credit for this, but I saw a clip the other day. You may well have seen it before. And there's this professor, and he stands before all his students, and he holds up a £20 note. Hey, you see me, yeah? He says, anybody want this £20 note? And everybody's hands go, all these students, of course they do, they all want them. the £20 note, and then he scrunches it up, yeah? Anyone want the £20 note? The students, they all want the £20 note. Then he puts it on the floor and he rubs it in the mud and he picks it up, and one or two of them think about it, but the majority still want the £20 note. Why? Why do they still want that £20 note? Because regardless of its condition, it does not lose its value. It does not lose its value. Now understand this, as Christians and in the church, regardless of your background, your origin, your circumstances, things that you've done, things that you may be doing that you're trying to overcome, regardless, your value does not change in the eyes of God. He sees you the same. He sees you the same. And so God doesn't look down at each one of us because of the things going on in our lives and say, your value is deteriorating because you are dirtier in the way that you're living than everybody else. He says, every single person is equally valued by me. And the only thing that will stop you making heaven is yourself. Only thing. That is the one thing that will stop you making heaven. It's yourself. And so, when I say that the people who got in the ark during the flood, when those doors shut and the rain came down, they expected to be saved. Why? Because the message was taught to them that this ark would be built as a sanctuary to save the people for those who choose to get inside that ark. So that when that storm comes and when that rain comes and when that flood comes, you will survive. And so we have to look at our Christian life in the same way. Now listen, as a Christian, you should wake up every day confidently knowing that you have an eternal life, unless you're not doing what God is asking you to do. That is the difference. A few weeks ago, I started my lesson with John 14, 1 through 6, where it says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That is the promise. That's the promise. He says, where I go, and where I go, you know. And the way, you know. Thomas said, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how we can know the way. And Jesus said to him, I am the way. I am the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Now listen, if you go to the Father through him, you're going the right way. Because he says, I am the way. And so then he says, don't let your hearts be troubled, don't worry. Why would you worry? Believe also in me as you believe in God. In my Father's house, those mansions, those rooms, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Just the same as when he built the ark and he said, get into the ark, and the flood comes and the door shut, you will survive. And so, in my Christian life and in your Christian life, wake up with confidence. If you don't have confidence, figure out what is causing them insecurities. Something's wrong. Maybe you're not right with Christ. Maybe you've not completely done what God has asked you to do. And what you do is you have to rectify that and get that on track. Maybe your life is not living the way that God wants you to live. So what do? You change your way. Get the confidence. Get the trust in God. And understand that we should all want to go to heaven, and we should all not be ashamed to say so. We should be confident to say to anyone, I want to make heaven. And when the world is trying to pull me away and I'm losing my friends and my relationships and losing contact with people, I say, the reason is I want to make heaven. I don't want to lose my salvation for things of this world. Heaven is not too far out of our reach. And it's not too far out of anybody's reach. I've met people from all walks of life who have changed their lives and they're heading to heaven. All walks of life. You know, there's one of our neighbours I mentioned before. I think he was more like a gangster in his early days. He's written a book about his life. He was notorious in our town. He was involved in all kinds of activities, spent his time in prison, his brother spent time in prison, done a lot of things in his life. But there's a changing of heart. And every time we see him, we can see a change of heart, we can see his mindset changing. He wrote a book because he wanted to talk about how his life had changed, but still he's not satisfied. And when Janet herself spoke to him the other day, he was talking about how he's beginning to believe that there must be a creator. You see how people's lives change, you see how people's hearts can be affected, because heaven is not too far out of reach for anyone. Everybody has a right to this opportunity, and those who go to heaven have some things then that they need to be aware of. You want to make heaven? No one is excluded and all have the same opportunity. Well, heaven is for those who are called. Who are called? Matthew 11, 28, verse 30. Come to me. Come to me. That's the calling. You call your children, come over here. You're near a road, don't go near the road, come and stand next to me. You don't want to lose them in the crowd, so you say, come by my side and hold them. You call them to you. Well, our Saviour says, come to me, all. No exclusion. No exclusion. All who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will. I like that. You will. That's confidence. There's no doubt in there. If you do all of this, if you come to him, are you willing to do that? Are you willing to take his yoke upon you and learn from him? Because he's gentle and lowly in heart. He says, you will. Find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And yet many people, they have no rest. Christians, unsettled, unsure, uncertain, am I saved, am I okay? But listen, have the confidence. He calls upon you. Come to me. And heaven is for those who are called. If you are called, of course we're called through his teaching, through his message. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It's through him, through his voice. But you know, we can be called to things and yet pay no attention to them. In Hebrews 5 and verse 9, and having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. You see, obedience is critical. Even with our, again, with our children, you know, when we're bringing our children up, we want them to be obedient because we want to protect them. We want to keep them safe and we want to keep them out of danger, but also we want to learn them to learn standards and learn how to live in life so that they learn the Christian way and the Christian route. But he says, having been perfected, completed, the author is the writer, the author is the one that makes it, the author is the one that pieces it together. The author of our eternal salvation is, in other words, our eternal salvation is based on the one who was the author of it. And he says, salvation then is to all who hear my calling and obey me. You know, I can't cross a bridge unless I go. I can believe. I can stand at the bridge and I can look to the other side and say, I believe that I can cross that bridge. And I can just stand there every day and be content with myself. And everyone says, how are you doing? I'm doing great. Do you believe in the bridge? Or you better believe I believe in that bridge. But I've never crossed it. But there was the example where there was a guy who would walk across a tightrope with a wheelbarrow. He'd go backwards and forwards. Down to that, because he's heard him about four or five times, I think. But he'd walk backwards across this tightrope with a wheelbarrow, and he'd always say to everyone, do you believe I can carry this wheelbarrow? And he said, yeah, we've seen you do it. And he said, well, get in the wheelbarrow and let me take you over. You see, we have to have belief. We have to understand that in order for us to get to where we need to be, it takes some action. And so we can believe as much as we like, but unless we put it into action, how will it work? How can we cross the bridge? And so he calls us to obedience. In other words, he wants us to be obedient to his will. And then when he says, come to me, I need to go to him. I need to go to him. You know, back when we looked in that passage, come to me, all. What is he saying? He said, you need to come. You need to move. You need to make that action. In Matthew 25, verse 41 through 46, it says, then he will also say to those on the left, and we recently read this, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick in prison, and did not minister to you? And then he will say to them, saying, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Now, we're talking about having confidence in our eternal destiny, confidence in heaven. But it says here in this passage that unless we live righteous lives, we'll go into, or we'll go away into the everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. And so we have to examine our lives and address how we live. You know, this morning in Brother Gary's class in Matthew, wonderful, wonderful lessons we're having. So these are life-changing, brethren. These are life-changing. Going the extra mile. You know, and when we looked at that this morning, Brother Gary led us through that study. What a powerful message. Going the extra mile. This is what I've got to do, but I'm going to go beyond that. And this bit is my bit. This is my agape work. This is my love for left. But you see, in order for us to have the confidence in heaven, we have to have the confidence in the way that we live. And so we have to be confident in the standard by which we base our life upon. And so our lives are critical in how we conduct ourselves around others and how we conduct ourselves as a Christian. You know, when we see the needs, how we react to those needs. And so heaven is for those that are righteous. In Matthew 5 and verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Pure in heart. Heaven is for those that are holy, seeking holiness. A pure heart that can only be achieved through God. You know that? You want a pure heart? It's the only filter that will purify. It's achieved through God. You know, for they shall see who? They shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And pure hearts can only be achieved in that way. He cleanses my conscience through the blood of Jesus. But it also, you know, as a goal that I strive towards as a Christian, is to seek to be the best that I can be. God's word is entirely directed towards this goal. Do you know that? You look at the Bible, you read it. When you look at the teachings, think of it all the time, seeking this need of Christians striving to challenge themselves to be better people, to be better servants, seeking ways of having this purity in the heart. And certainly these classes on Sunday morning are dealing with that. Or every day, every time we sit in that class, there's something that makes you realise, oh, I've got to work hard. I've got to get these things right. I've got to start looking at these beatitudes. Remember, as Brother Gary said, beatitudes. That's what we've got to be. These are the attitudes that we've got to be. And these lessons are lessons that we have to take on board. Because by applying these things to our lives, it enables us to adapt ourselves to be better people. so that we can wake up in the morning and say, I know my destiny, I know my God, I have the trust and understanding. You know, be careful. You know, if you think that we just are baptized and that's it, that is just the start. The journey begins. And it is a tough one. We've said that over and over again over many weeks now. Did you know that heaven is for those who are citizens? You've got to be a citizen. You've got to be a citizen. Yesterday I was sorting out a visa application for me to go into Tanzania for a month. And I was sorting out the visa applications because she's not a citizen of that country. And so I have to apply for permission for her to travel there. But you know, I can jump in my car and go to Scotland and jump in my car and go to wherever, Wales or all these places, because this is where our citizenship is. Each one of us, our citizenship is here. But we're talking about heaven here. In Philippians 3 verse 20, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. What a powerful... Listen, that's your passport. That's your passport that you can show, if you was to look at it in that way. You know, on the judgment day, on the last day, when he recognises you as a citizen of his kingdom and says, you know, you was the one that heard my message. You was the one that heard me call you, and you came to me. And you was the one that sought to be righteous, sought after righteousness, sought to be holy. You're a citizen, because your citizenship is because of who you are and what you have done. So, where you belong, as a Christian, you belong in the kingdom of God. You belong in his kingdom. I want you to take notice of this in Revelation 21 verse 27. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The Lamb's Book of Life, also called the Book of Life. What he's talking about in Revelation. Listen, this is the roll call. This is a record containing the names of all those who have been spiritually reborn according to Scripture. Not according to man, according to Scripture. This means that they have accepted Jesus as their Saviour. They have made him Lord of their life and will live with God in heaven through eternity. And through the actions of what they have done, through baptism, through immersion, through the plan that God had put into place, had given themselves to him, and he added them to his kingdom. In other words, I cannot, Brother Gary cannot, Brother Emmanuel cannot, no one in this room can add you to the Book of Life. It is done through obedience to his will, and you are added by him. And so, this means that they have accepted Jesus and carried out what needed to be done according to his Scripture in order that we can have that. So listen, if you've done that, you can wake up in the morning and feel confident. You can feel confident. We are added. When we give our lives to Christ, according to Acts, the Lord adds us to his church. In fact, in Acts 2, it says the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. They were being saved according to his teaching. So heaven, then, is for the church, the citizenship. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 24, then comes the end. The end. There's an end. You know, I was thinking of this morning when Brother Gary was talking about going the extra mile, you know, the end. You can almost imagine these people walking. These bags would be heavy and it wouldn't be cold weather. And they'd be walking on carrying these and they'd be looking for the end of that. There's an end and it will come. because none of us will be alive in 110 years. If God wills that time, none of us in this room will be here. Who knows? Who knows when? People, this week we heard of three people that have passed away. Two that we knew, and one through Sister Hannah, that had passed away in the last week. That's people we know. That doesn't even talk about the ones that we don't know. Then comes the end. When he delivers the kingdom of God. What's the kingdom of God? The Father, when he delivers the kingdom of God, he delivers the kingdom to God, the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and authority and power. There is an end. And this is our goal, this is our eternity. Yet we strive for the temporal. We're so busy forgetting the end of the most important thing of all, that we're thinking of the end of our careers or educations or building our houses or all our hobbies and all our finance and all the things that matter to us, and then we forget that our Father says there will be an end, and he delivers the kingdom to God the Father when he puts an end to all rule and authority. He delivers the kingdom to God. He puts an end to all rule and authority and power. The church will be delivered. And so we think of our spiritual well-being. Where do we stand? Where do you stand today? What is your position? Don't be ashamed to address your life, examine yourself, and ask, where am I? Am I where I should be? Because I want to make heaven. If I've got things to put right in my life, I need to get them right. We have to see where we are. In John 5:24, it talks about hearing the word. It talks about the importance of that. Mark 16 talks about believing. We hear and we believe. But we've already said we have to follow the process. I hear the bridge is strong, I believe the bridge is strong. Well, Acts 1:30 tells me I've got to repent. So you know, I'm hearing, I'm believing, I'm repenting. I'm turning my life around. It's the mind change. Repentance is here. I'm going in one direction, but now my direction has changed. Because before I was earthly bound. Before everything was about earth. But now everything's about heaven. Because I want to make heaven. And so I confess in Acts 8:36, I confess Christ as Lord. Why? Because he's my saviour. And I acknowledge that. But still I'm standing in front of the bridge and still I'm not over there. And then in Acts 2:38 it talks about being baptised. Total immersion. You know, it talks about being buried as Christ was buried in the tomb. Well listen, you know, when Christ was buried, he didn't just have a bit of soil on his head. Or he wasn't just partly buried. He was completely in the tomb. And that tomb was closed off. Total darkness, completely sealed. And then he rose from that. And so when we go into baptism, we are baptized into water, so we are buried in the water. It's symbolic, but it's very important. It's critical. Because then as we come up out of the water, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Not only that, the Lord says he then adds you to his church. So what are you now? You're a citizen. You're a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. And so you then have a task. A very important task. And there are many passages that deal with this. 1 Peter 2 verse 9 talks about living faithfully. That is the challenge. Because the minute, as we said before, and we've said it over the last few weeks, the minute you're out of the water, the devil is there. Oh boy. Another one saved. I didn't manage to stop that one. I better get to work. And through the rest of your life, he will be on your case, going through everything within his means. But you have to live faithfully by hearing his word, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. and living a faithful life. That is what we have to do to get our kingdom, our eternal life in heaven. You know, 1 Corinthians 15, and I'll conclude with this. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. He says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery." Now, the mystery is the word, it's a Greek word, it's called mysterion. It's something that is hidden, that is being revealed. It's not something that is confusing and can't be explained. So when you see this word mystery, it's talking about something that I'm going to reveal to you. In other words, it's a bit like, you know, a child being born, and you don't know whether it's a male or a female, and when you find out, you reveal. You reveal that information. So it says, "I'll tell you a mystery, we shall not sleep. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet." Remember we said an end. "For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." So when this corruptible has put on the incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall he be brought to pass, and saying that it is written, "Death has swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labour is not in vain in the Lord." Brethren, we want to make heaven. That's our goal. I want this to be the message that you leave today with. It's not my message. I can take no credit for this. Even Michelle, when she mentioned this, but she'd like to hear something like this. It's not even her message. This is God's message to each and every one of us. And we have to remind ourselves of this every day. Because this life is short, we don't know how long we've got. And so I urge you to give this serious consideration. Get right with God. Do what he asks us to do. If we can assist you in any way, if we can study with you, if you want to learn more. You know, listen, when it comes to issues like this, people like Brother Gary, myself and others, we're ready. We'll come any time of the day. We want to share this message of salvation so badly, because we want you all to have this guaranteed promise that God wants you to have in heaven. Let me encourage you, please, to make that decision today. If we can help you or assist you in your baptism, or help you in bringing you to get to an understanding of where you need to be, let me encourage you to let us know today. Let's rise and sing the invitation song.